The NaviPro IT Break, 15 entertaining minutes with our experts on hot topics. They're designed to help you keep up to date on the latest IT trends. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to this IT Break edition 42. My name is Pierre Tocci, Senior Consultant, IT Transformation Strategies at NaviPro. And today my guest is Christopher Stack of Proofpoint. Christopher is a cloud security architect at Proofpoint. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Pierre. Thank you for having me here. I appreciate it.
It will be a pleasure. I'm anxious to learn more about this topic that you chose this morning called Cloud App Security Broker. I believe you call it short CASB.
That is correct. Yes, CASB, Cloud App Security Broker, Cloud Access Security Broker. They're essentially interchangeable, but very excited to discuss with you.
So what is a CASB and why does it matter to our audience today, which is a business audience?
Exactly. So what a CASB is it's essentially going to protect all of the data that you've moved into cloud environments. So an AWS, an Azure, an Office 365, a Salesforce, you want to be sure to control the data that resides within those environments, as well as who's accessing that data. You also want to see where that data is moving, right? If it is taken out of that environment, because that can pose a risk to your organization if that data is exposed, not just from a branding issue, but also from compliance and regulatory problems as well. So a CASB is going to allow you to identify that data, control where the data moves, as well as control who has access to that sensitive data.
So basically, the customer or those people using a CASB would be those that are cloud-based or are on-prem and want to move to cloud? Or what's the typical situation that you see today?
Exactly. So a CASB is really for folks who have information in cloud environments. You can still have a hybrid environment where you have some of your infrastructure on premises, some in the cloud, as most organizations do. But if you're fully on premises, it's good to start to learn about a CASB, but it wouldn't do too much for your organization until you migrate that data into those different cloud environments.
Okay. And should I see a CASB also as a possibly an assistant to move my data? Like it would, you know, sort of guide me as to the do's and the don'ts?
You know, so it's not going to show you and tell you exactly how you should move that data. That's where it's good to work with, you know, different organizations like a NaviPro, for instance, who can help you with that type of guidance of, hey, how do I migrate this data successfully? What a CASB is going to do is you can have a CASB deployed and ensure that, well, that data migration is taking place, the data is being protected, you understand where it's moving. And then once that data is fully migrated, you can continue to ensure that it remains safe in those different cloud environments.
Do you have an example handy that you see over and over again? You know, situations that customers solve because they're using a CASB?
Yeah, absolutely. The primary situation is we've just moved our data into this cloud environment, and you know, it's not the infrastructure on premises we used to have. What do we do with this data? We don't even know what's out there. So the first step generally is getting visibility, understanding where your data resides, again, who's accessing it, and what that data really is. Is it sensitive? Could it pose a risk to the business? Could it provide any type of damaging information? Is it sensitive information that shouldn't be shared out that a competitor could potentially have access to? So those are really the way a lot of customers start. Let's understand what's out there. And then when we take it forward, we can show them how to block that data from moving, as opposed to just seeing where it is and controlling it, you know, after the fact.
So when you say making sure that the data does not move, is it like a DLP, data at rest, data on the fly, stuff like that?
Exactly. That's spot on, Pierre. It's both, right? So we can look at data at rest via doing a historical type scan, data that's on the move, like you said, as files are interacted with by end users. What file was interacted with? How did that user share it? Did they send it to a Gmail account, right? When it should be only business information. A CASB can identify this and again, help control that. And again, there's a number of different aspects that a CASB can perform. And that's really one of the primary use cases there.
In my previous lives, business life, should I say, as a security expert. We used to tell customers that the reason why you get hacked is not just the fun to get in, it's that you want something to get out.
Exactly.
So obviously, you need to monitor the stuff that is going out. Otherwise, you're protecting yourselves for nothing, right? Wrong investments if you don't know what can go out. So basically, you would monitor what is going out.
Exactly. What's inside and what's going out. And when you bring up attackers getting into environments, something that we used to focus on was something called criminal dwell time inside of these cloud environments, where bad actors will use corporate credentials to get into an environment. And then that's where they try to understand what takes place. I had one person that I had worked with in the past, an organization where a person in their accounts payable received an email from the CFO stating to wire money to exactly.
That one is typical.
And it said they were in a meeting, right? The email said, hey, I'm in a meeting. Can you please send this information out? The person did it. I mean, they didn't even operate in that country, so it was bad for the accounts payable person. But the CFO was like, I didn't write this to you. And how'd they know I was in a meeting? Well, a bad actor was in your environment and they were able to see what you're doing and they can then operate inside of there. Very nefarious. And CASB can help identify that and ensure that is controlled, right? As well. Yeah, and then, sure. Not the specific email, but who is accessing my environment, right? Who's able to get in there and make sure it's only the people that should be in that environment.
Yeah. People forget that 95% of theft of data is due to behavior of personnel, not intentional. We're not saying intentional. It's what we call cybersecurity hygiene. The do's and don'ts without you knowing. So basically, with a CASB, you would be able to see the behavior of data. Is it normal that this data is going that way as opposed to that way?
Exactly. That's spot on. And maybe, you know, we talked about Fred Beats earlier, right? Who is someone that I get to work with. And, you know, since we're talking in Montreal, maybe I do fantasy hockey, right? Or maybe I want to send him something about the Habs, something of that nature. And it ends up that I share something, or since we know each other outside of work, I inadvertently share something that's work related to his personal email address, as opposed to, you know, sending it to his Proofpoint address. And then I've just, you know, inadvertently exfiltrated data, right? And exposed sensitive data. So exactly right. Controlling where this data is going, seeing where it's going, and just really understanding what's in your cloud environment.
The way I understand it, CASB would be that final gate to protect us, because our work environment has changed since a year and a couple months right now. We used to be controlled at the office with the office laptop. Now we're all remote VPNs, but you know, my kid may be using my laptop. I hope not. Or you may have to use someone's tablet because your laptop does not work to access your corporate data. What happens after? I mean, security can go as far as it can, right?
Exactly. And you brought up a perfect point. That's really the point of cloud environments. Businesses migrate to cloud environments to have more productivity at work, right? So not just from COVID and having everyone work at home, but that productivity, being able to access corporate data from anywhere, any device, any time, because maybe you have to get work done. Maybe there's something that has to be done right then and you're on grandma's PC or something like that. Yeah. And, you know, but then the data is being shared out, right? So it's able to understand where that data is going again. And I know I sound like a broken record, but where that data is moving and then be able to control that information.
It's not a broken record, and I wish people understood that the point of stealing data is to get out with the data, not stay there. Staying there is useless.
Exactly.
You know, you get into my house through the window and you stay in the house, so what?
Yeah. Yeah. You want to get something, get the nice silverware and get out of there.
There you go. Tell me, Chris, a CASB is not let's say I have multi-cloud environment. So obviously my CASB would manage all these clouds, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So a CASB can manage as many, not only cloud applications as you're utilizing, but as many tenants as you have. So maybe you have a Canadian Office 365 tenant that, you know, people in the EU shouldn't access, or one in the States as well. If you're a multinational organization, that should be segmented. The CASB can protect those individual tenants as well as everything as a whole. So it's really whatever you want to do, whatever infrastructure you want to develop in those cloud environments, a CASB can absolutely help you support that.
Now, let's step back. How, because that would be a trivial question from any IT organization. Business wants it, but then IT is stuck with the problem. How easy or cumbersome is it for them to implement a CASB?
It's very simplistic. I mean, well, let me step back. Everything's always to be challenging, change orders and things. But from a technical deployment standpoint, it's quite simplistic. You're going to want to start first with the APIs. What's going on? That visibility that we discussed. What's going on in my environment? And that just takes a couple minutes to enable or establish a connection with a cloud application. That's very simplistic. As you get into the proxy ranges, reverse proxies, forward proxies, real agents to have real-time blocking, that's where it can be a bit more difficult to deploy, especially if you have a global team, right? Or people on, you know, personal devices, you know, unmanaged devices they may work on, sales teams in the field. But again, that's definitely something that can be worked with. And many CASBs can assist you in deploying, you know, those types of agents out, right? So it's simple to get started, to get that visibility. And then it's really what you decide to put into it and the steps you want to take as you move forward. But easy to get started.
So obviously, complexity of installing or managing a CASB is also due to the nature of the company. A small business will not face complexity of a 500 Fortune company.
Exactly. Completely different infrastructure and architecture. And what's beautiful for us is, you know, at Proofpoint, and I know you at NovaPro, we work across all the different stacks, right? So we have customers that are smaller businesses from an employee size. We have small businesses that have still incredibly sensitive information. Think of, you know, hedge funds, for instance, right? Or they have a small user group, but incredibly sensitive information and complex infrastructure. We work with the Fortune, you know, 10, the Fortune 50, the, you know, Fortune 100, work across all these different stacks. And so again, there's always a great place to start, and wherever an organization is in their cloud journey, a CASB will be able to step in and continue to help, you know, fill that role as they grow out in that cloud environment, if you will, or expand in that
now,
cloud environment.
Typical question that I see is in the job that I do as a strategist is a customer has a problem. We figure, you know, your plan is to migrate. Your plan is to be more cloud-based. Your plan is to do this, to do that. I look at the conditions and the environment of the customer, nature of business. For me to do my work as a trusted advisor, do I need to take 6 months head start and start considering CASB and build a business case? Or is this more of a good father, good family member taking care of his company, saying, you know, that's, we should be going this way and it will not be too tough to evaluate the business case?
Yeah. So it's good to start getting ahead of that and building a business case. As we know in security, we've been trying to get budgets for a long time from the business, right? Because essentially what our goal is at the end of the day is we want to allow organizations to continue to operate at what their mission is, while ensuring that there's security in place and not impacting the business. Are you a hospital? Your job isn't to secure data. Your job's to help patients. Are you a retailer? Again, not to secure data. Your job's to sell your product. Right, a financial institution, say, you know, I can go through vertical by vertical, but that's really the key. We want to ensure that your data is protected while allowing your business to operate in the way that it's supposed to be operating and allow you to deliver on your mission to your customers, patients, whatever that may be. So I always still say, though, build a plan, because no business likes, you know, more, you know, overhead costs as they look at it. But once the business understands the risk that's associated with data potentially being exposed to them, it's much easier to get this on as a line item project. So I know that was kind of a long answer, but it really depends on the business. If the business feels this is something we need, then security can jump right into it. If the business is on the fence, then definitely start to put a plan together. And, you know, Pierre, obviously I would be remiss if I didn't tell you, please talk to all your customers about CASB, unless they're fully on premises. But, you know, even then, educationally, it's still good too. Yeah.
As a closing argument, we have a minute left, Chris. I'm seeing more and more projects where customers want security based on one type of data, protecting a single IP. can we do this or do we need to implement a CASB to protect the entire environment and see the movement of the entire stack of data? Can you be specific on movements?
So a CASB is really going to see your entire environment, especially when it's from an API stage. However, it can get very specific from a rule building stage. And we can say, we only want to focus on this IP, or we want to only focus on this specific type of data that we're protecting, or data moving to this, you know, IP address. So we still see the information because API is kind of, you're going to see everything. However, it can be very specific on the end users or the rules that you want to build that, that have an impact, you know, from the CASB itself.
Yeah, because we're seeing more and more regulation around securing data, you know, customer data, sensitive information, big projects here in Canada, because the government is enforcing these regulations. So my first instinct would be to see, okay, we are securing data, but let's make sure it does not get out. So a CASB would be a great way to manage this, or at least to prove that we've done our homework.
Exactly. That's also a great piece. It helps also justify what security organizations are doing for the business, because it's easy to pull reports and show them, hey, these are the threats that we've been seeing, condense that and roll that up to executive levels, to board levels of this is how we're securing that data, and really validating the reasoning that you've deployed a CASB in your environment from a not only a security standpoint, from a business standpoint as well.
Well, Chris, those were excellent hints as to why to use a CASB. Thank you very much for these 15 minutes. Folks, thank you again for having joined us today in this IT break. Today's podcast will be available shortly on our hub of content at hub.navipro.com, along with the picture here of my friend Chris that you see, fully recorded webinar. Again, Chris, thank you very much.
No problem. Thank you, Pierre. And apologies, I don't have a better professional headshot. That is not a photograph.
That's quite all right. And thank you very much again, everybody, and hope to see you soon on a 43rd IT break to come up shortly. Thank you again. Have a great day.
Thank you very much.
You want access to a range of cutting-edge information? Go to our online content area at hub.navipro.com.